Romans chapter 10, and we're going to read on from where we stopped, and we'll read on from verse 13. Romans chapter 10. Verse 13 and verse 12, the apostle has been explaining that there's no difference between the different peoples on the earth, between the Jew or the Greek, but that all are the same spiritually in their need before God and also in their gospel opportunity. And then he comes to verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Amen. And we'll end our reading there at the end of that chapter. We'll come before the Lord in prayer before we come to consider his word. Our loving God, we continue on in thy presence in our Saviour's name. And we think of those words that we have been singing, of that desire that by thy grace and by the power of thy Spirit, that thou wouldst help us to understand it and to take it in, what it meant for thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. We thank thee for the wonder of the cross. Thank thee for the Saviour's dying love for us. We pray that by faith we would view it once again this evening, and we would consider him, the one who loved us even unto death. Grant all help that is needed tonight, we pray. Grant that infilling of the Spirit to preacher and to hearer alike. Keep back those things that should not be said. Grant grace to say those things that should be said. We pray that our Saviour would be exalted, that he would be high and lifted up, and that we would look upon him, and that our soul would be satisfied as we would gaze upon the Saviour, the one who has given his all for us, and that we would then be led to give our all to him. Presence thyself with us, we ask. Grant all that is required and the needed help, for we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 extends that great, that wonderful gospel promise to all people, everywhere. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a great and a wonderful gospel promise. The extending of the mercy and the favour of God that people across the world, regardless of where they come from, whatever their background may be, that there is that opportunity given to them to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of sin, and by faith in him to lay hold of the mercy of God that is extended to them, and through the merit of Christ to know forgiveness of sin and peace with God and a home in heaven, and have a soul rescued from going down into hell. Such is the wonder and the glory of the message of God's salvation. And the apostle, after delivering that great gospel promise with all of its certainty in verse 13, he goes on in the verses that follow to speak of the great need for the gospel to be preached and to be declared and to be heralded all over the world. He says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And so the Lord has sent us, his people, into all the world to preach the gospel, to declare the good news that there is life in the risen Lord. And it is my great privilege to be called of God, to be a preacher of the gospel, and to be sent to preach his truth in Uganda, in East Africa. Uganda is a country that has a land area about the same size as the United Kingdom, and a population of around 40 million people. And there are many religions represented in Uganda. The dominant single religion is the Roman Catholic Church. About 40% of the population belong to the Church of Rome. And then alongside that section of the population, there's another 40% that is made up of different Protestant denominations, the Anglican being the largest single denomination in that group. Over 30% of the population belong to the Anglican Church. And then there are other evangelical Protestant churches. And those Protestant churches have some gospel truth, but they are hindered by a lot of confusion and a lot of false teaching. There's a minority Muslim population of about 10%, and then the remainder of the population are those who have maintained what might be considered traditional tribal religion. And the old tribal religion has a great grip on the minds of the people. With all of the darkness and superstition and all of the focus on demons and ancestors that go with it. And over past generations, people have converted to other things for different reasons, be it Roman Catholicism or Islam or Pentecostalism. But very often, all that they have changed is the outward label. And the heart has not changed at all. And all of the old superstitions really continue. And only the Lord can send the pure, true light of the gospel into the heart that will really bring illumination, that will really set the people free. Uganda is blessed with a tropical climate, no ice or frost or snow apart from the very top of the highest mountains, and lots of sunshine and moderate temperatures of around 25 to 30 degrees Celsius. The equator cuts across Uganda, but because of its altitude, the temperature is very moderate. And it is a very, very beautiful country. Lots of green vegetation, very lush, very green, more so than you would expect. Rolling hills and valleys. And in the national parks, they have all of the big, exciting animals that people go on safari to see. And it also contains the source of the River Nile. And that great river, with all of its history, it gathers up in Uganda, flows out of Lake Victoria, and it flows all the way then right to Egypt. Economically, Uganda has been developing and growing quite rapidly in recent years, and we had been there for 9 months, and in those 9 months that we were there, we saw a lot of building work going on, businesses expanding, positive signs for the economic future of the country. Now, life is different to how it is in the Western world, and there are challenges for people in everyday life. But Uganda has a lot of potential and a lot of resources. And with the right leadership and strategy, and if it remains peaceful, Uganda has the means of dramatically improving the living standards of its own people in the future. It's about 30 years since Uganda came out of what was a dreadful civil war. And in the past 3 decades, Uganda has made great strides forward. President Museveni has ruled since 1986, and when he came to power, he restored the freedom to preach the gospel, and he supports Christian teaching in many ways. He was re-elected in 2016 for another term, and they've recently changed the rules to allow him to stand for a further 2 terms. He is an older man now, and while he may go on for many years, he cannot go on forever. And while his government is far from perfect, there has been peace and stability. And our prayer is that peace and stability and the freedom to preach the gospel will be maintained into the future. And we pray for the Lord to make a way. Uganda has never managed a peaceful transition of power from one ruler to another since it got its independence from Britain in 1962. So we pray that the Lord will overrule regarding the future. You might ask, how did Ruth and I end up in Uganda? It's not something that either of us ever expected or anticipated. Some years after Ruth and I got married, the Lord did call me to enter the Whitfield College of the Bible to train for full-time Christian service, which I did in September 2012. And that burden had been on my heart for many years. And I went into Bible college not knowing the precise role that the Lord had for me to do, but with the conviction, the deep conviction, that I had been called to be a preacher of His Word. It was while I was in Bible college in the summer of 2015, just before I started my fourth year, that Ruth and I had the opportunity to go to Uganda to help out in the work of the school and the church that was being led at that time by the Reverend and Mrs. Noel Kelly. And our six-week trip was part of the mission board keeping in touch with the work and finding out more about it as our own mission board prepared to take on the work when the Kellys would eventually retire. And it was very, very exciting, I have to say, to fly into Uganda in the middle of the night and to land at Entebbe Airport and to go down the steps of the plane and to set foot in Uganda for the first time. Ruth and I were not known for doing anything adventurous. We lived a very ordinary, simple, boring life to which we were well suited. And to end up doing anything exciting was a great surprise. I've been diabetic since I was a child and on injections every day. And that was another reason why I had always thought that it would not be possible for me to serve anywhere in the developing world. But the Lord, of course, is well able to make His own will possible. And we have been amazed, very thankful, how the Lord has provided the health and the medical supplies for us to be in Uganda. And it was from the time that we started preparing for that summer trip to Uganda in 2015 that the Lord began working in our hearts about the ministry there. And the call of God is a very personal, individual thing between a person and the Saviour. And while it's personal, it's not clouded by doubt or confusion. The Lord Himself, when He speaks, has no difficulty in opening our hearts, hard as they are, and He can speak to us in a way that we will never possibly mistake what He is telling us to do. And the Lord spoke to Ruth and myself together and individually over a period of weeks and months, revealing that this was His will for us. And so we applied then to the mission board at the start of 2016. Later on that year, we were interviewed by the board, and then finally the presbytery approved us to go to Uganda. The Free Presbyterian Mission Station there in Uganda, it is in central Uganda, and it was transferred to our denomination on the 1st of January 2017, so we're just over a year in. It's in a rural location, and you travel from Entebbe then to Kampala. When you fly in, you fly into Entebbe, then you travel to Kampala, the capital of Uganda. And then from Kampala, you're traveling sort of southwest for about 70 to 80 miles until you reach the mission compound. And the work includes a church and a school all on the one site. And the school this year has around 320 pupils in nursery, primary and secondary school, and about 100 of those are in boarding. The mission board has placed me as the minister of the church there and also as the school administrator. And my wife Ruth, she has the job of being school accountant and doing all of the sums and looking after that end of things. And Ruth and I were both saved as children. And it is a great, great privilege for us to be able to be in Uganda and to be involved in a work that reaches out in many ways to children, although not exclusively to children, but to be able to bring to children the message that reached us when we were children and that changed our lives and brought us to know the Saviour is a great, great blessing. Our second stint in Uganda was for 9 months, as I said, and we went out at the end of 2016, and we were there through to the end of July 2017, and we were sent out at that time to see the transfer of the work from Reverend Noel Kelly to our own mission board. And we're thankful to the Lord in bringing all of that about and making it possible. And it is our prayer that the Lord will use that little mission station there to be a beacon of light in the darkness of its own area. It's in a rural location between two villages. It's an overwhelmingly Roman Catholic locality. And there's a Muslim minority. So one of our local villages would be considered Roman Catholic, although it's a mixed community. And the other would be considered Muslim, although it's a mixed community as well. And that is where our children are being gathered in from to the school. So during last year, over half of the children at the school came from Roman Catholic families. And then we had other children from Muslim families and some from mixed backgrounds. It was a great, great opportunity to bring the gospel to those children with the prayer that they will be saved and they will then be able to take the gospel back to their own homes and to their own communities. There are many opportunities from week to week to bring the word and to bring the gospel. The church meets on Sunday morning for prayer from 10 to 11. And then there's the morning service, the main Sunday service, from 11 o'clock on Sunday morning through to 1 o'clock. And the boarding school children make up the bulk of the congregation. And so we do begin the service with an address, a children's address, something specifically for them. And then there'll be a lot of singing, as you'd expect, and the Sunday school get up and sing, and the other groups get up and sing, and then the congregation will sing as well. And we've been teaching the congregation some of our own hymns in English, and they've been getting on to that very well. And then there would be the main sermon towards the end of the service. Sunday afternoon is the Sunday school from 3:30 to 4:30. And all of the boarding school children attend that. And it's like a children's meeting here. All of the children are in together from about age 3 up to about age 20. And we begin with singing choruses in English. And again, they love to learn new choruses in English. And then they have a memory verse. And they'll also learn a few questions from the Child's Catechism every week, working their way through the Child's Catechism. And then they have their Bible lesson and their quiz. And I think the older ones enjoy it most, probably understand it better at this stage. And with the passage of time, we'll have to split them up into different age groups. But for now, it suits us to have them all together. And that's another great, great opportunity. And before we came home from Uganda, we were able to have some open airs in the local villages. So on Monday nights, we went out round the different villages. We visited 5 different villages in our locality. And during the hour before it would get dark, before the sun would set, it was a great opportunity to have a gospel service. And many people sat around and listened. And there were people maybe travelling home after their day's work. And it was a great opportunity to bring the word of God. And people in our locality are open to listen to the word of God. They may not respond as you would wish, but at least you have the opportunity to bring the gospel to them. And it's a great, great blessing. The church has 2 prayer meetings in the week, one on a Tuesday evening and one on a Saturday evening. And then there are Bible studies on a Wednesday. There's one on Wednesday afternoon for the members of staff. So the children go home half an hour earlier. Our school finishes half an hour earlier on Wednesday. And then there's a staff Bible study for half an hour. And then later on Wednesday evening, there's a Bible study which is considered the church Bible study, although generally it's really only the boarding school children who attend that, and that's on Wednesday afternoon. And then also each day, Monday to Friday, there are school assemblies, morning and evening. And again, those school assemblies are a great opportunity for the children coming to us from unsaved backgrounds to be trained up in the knowledge of the Word of God. And so the gospel opportunity there at the compound is very, very great indeed. But we also have the ambition to reach beyond our own little locality. Our mission station is only 1 hour and 30 minutes from the border with Tanzania. And we have had a couple of boys in boarding from Tanzania in the past year, and I assume this year as well. And also we have a larger group of young men from Rwanda. And the Rwandan border would be about 2 hours from our mission station. And also, again, we have young men at our church and in the school from different parts of Uganda as well. And our prayer is that the Lord will call some of our young men to be preachers of the gospel. We know that the work cannot really progress as it should until it produces men, local men, to hold office in the church and to be ministers of the gospel to their own people. And some of our young men who may be in secondary school or maybe other members of staff have indicated that they feel called of God to be preachers. And this is a great encouragement. Some of them know 4 or 5 different languages. As I've said, they maybe come from different countries. They're accepted among their own people in a way that we will never be. And what mighty instruments they could be in the hand of the Lord if he would call some of our young men, truly call them, make it possible for them to be trained and then sent out to preach the word to their own people. So we're praying that the Lord will do that work, and we believe that it has started already. Ruth and I, God willing, hope to return to Uganda on the 23rd of April, and that's coming around quite soon. We are at the end of our deputation meetings, and God willing, we will have those finished by Easter, and then returning on the 23rd of April. And remember, all of the missionaries there, Miss Noreen McAfee is the school principal, and she came across from Kenya around the middle of April last year, and she is well settled in now. And you can pray for Miss McAfee as she leads the school and all of the complications that go with the school, that the Lord will give her wisdom and understanding. Mr. Andrew Foster has been in Uganda since the beginning of November last year, and his main focus is on all of the building work that is required to maintain the buildings, to build what new buildings are required, and to bring the facilities up to an acceptable standard. And he has been very busy. He managed to replace the school kitchen during the months of December and January when the school was off. And at present, he has been working on a new set of school toilets and shower block. And that was a work that was very, very much needed. And there have been those going out to help. And there was a team of men from Macrofelt who were out in the past month to help with that project for the new school toilets and for the new shower block. And we do appreciate those who have been going to cover the pulpit also during the time that we have been away. And we know that our brother, Mr. Maxwell, will be going later on this week, and will be preaching and covering the pulpit this month. And we appreciate the help of these men very much indeed. And we know that their visit and that their preaching will be very much appreciated and valued by the people there in the work. When the Lord called us to Uganda, he particularly challenged us and encouraged us from the words that he spoke to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. And if you turn to Joshua chapter 1, just for a few moments to look at these verses, for their great significance for us, and I think for all of the Lord's people. The Lord brought us time and time again to this passage in Joshua chapter 1, particularly the verse 9, but also the verses leading up to it. And if you look at verse 7 and verse 8, here's the Lord speaking to Joshua as he commissions him and he sends him out to this new work that he has to do. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, he says to him, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And as Joshua is sent out to this a great task that he has to do, he is commanded by the Lord that he must remain faithful to God's word in all things. He must not depart from the word of God to the right hand or to the left. He must meditate upon it day and night, and he must do everything that is contained in the word of God, the books of Moses, the Bible as Joshua had it, and he must speak it to others. And then the Lord has promised that he will enjoy the blessing of God upon his labours. And how relevant that is for all of us, that the word of God is ever before us, that it is always our guide and that we're always seeking to bring ourselves and our thinking and our work and our attitudes into conformity to the Word of God. And the Word of God always has the answer to whatever we face from day to day. And it's particularly relevant for us in Uganda as we preach the gospel there in a culture that is foreign to us and different to ours. There's always that pressure to adapt the message according to the tastes of the people. There'll be aspects of the Christian message that people in Uganda find very appealing. And then there'll be those other things that conflict with their own culture and their own habits of life. And the pressure is, well, just don't speak about those things that you know are going to be controversial, that you know are going to cause difficulty and perhaps create conflict. And so the pressure is just to compromise the message. And you can have many converts in a full church, and yet you have adapted the message to the people. And yet the Lord commands us to do the opposite, that we are to preach the whole counsel of God, and that we are to obey the scriptures in all things and preach the gospel as it is, knowing that the Lord, according to his will by his Spirit use it and apply it to the hearts of people, and they will be changed by the preaching of the gospel rather than the gospel being changed for them. And that is how the Lord has promised to build his church. And as we think about ministering in Uganda, in a developing world country, we're also reminded that our great task as Christian missionaries is the preaching of God's word. It will be possible to be diverted into spending a lot of your time addressing what might be considered humanitarian or material concerns. And while there are undoubtedly needs in the lives of people in our own little fellowship and in our own little school community, that if we are the only ones who can possibly help them, then we are to do so as the Bible would instruct us. But so often, by doing humanitarian work in a thoughtless and in an unbiblical way, we can enter into all kinds of pitfalls and dangers, and we can end up undermining what we want to see built up, particularly strong Christian families. This is a great challenge in Uganda, to have Christian families operating the way Scripture says they should. Fathers in particular, taking responsibility for their home, for their children, for providing for them and working hard to do so. And if we are there handing things out for free, we can undermine that, and we can create a dependence on what we are doing rather than encouraging and helping people to follow those biblical standards of working hard and providing, families providing for themselves. And so while there are great potential pitfalls in such work done thoughtlessly and in a general way, we know that the blessing of God will accompany the preaching of his word. And it is the gospel that makes the difference, not social work. It's the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. The Apostle Paul, in Romans 1, he spoke about how he was a debtor to preach the gospel, both to the Jew and to the Greek. And he spoke about the gospel being preached across the world. And he said that he was prepared to preach the gospel even in Rome, even in the great imperial capital. And he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." And it's the gospel that changes lives. It's the gospel that changed these hearts of ours. It's the gospel that can rescue sinners from going down to hell. It's the gospel that can give a new heart and a new life. It's the gospel that can change homes and families and communities and a whole nation when it is received into the hearts and minds of the people. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And not only is it the great demonstration of God's power, it's also the great manifestation of God's love. And while practical things that we do to help people are very, very important as we seek to live out the gospel, nothing will ever display the love of God like the preaching of the cross. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when we were unlovable in our sin, and when mankind was lost and hopeless and far away from God and in darkness and hating God and disobeying his law and deserving to be in hell, then in love, God sent his Son to bear away our sin through the shedding of his blood and the sacrifice of himself. And that is the great message of God's love. It's our great privilege to preach it to all people everywhere. And so Joshua is reminded to stick to the word of God, and so are we. And then in verse 9, he's reminded of that great command of God in his own life, that personal command. Have not I commanded thee? The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of the harvest. It's his harvest field, and it's his work. The souls who are saved across the world are those for whom he shed his blood and died. And it's not our work, it's his work. So often our own personality would want to make it our work and to put our stamp upon it and to talk about what we are doing. But it is not our work, it's his. And so we must work where he places us, and we must work in the way that he tells us to, under his direct command. And this command was a great comfort to Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. How Joshua was encouraged. Be strong. Have courage. Don't be afraid. Don't give up, because I am with you. And it's only when the Lord is with us that we can have such an encouragement. Nothing else will do. Nothing else will give us strength and courage. Nothing else will stop us giving up other than the presence of the Lord. And yet Joshua has promised it here. And how much would he need that promise in the years that were ahead of him? And yet what a blessing it was to him. And we can say the same. There are things for us in Uganda that would cause us to feel afraid and to feel like giving up. And yet the Lord, knowing all of that, says, no need to fear, no need to give up, because when I am with you, then all will be well. And he promises Joshua in verses 7 and 8 that when he obeys the word, he will enjoy success in his labours. And the Lord may not measure success in the way that we would often do, and yet his word, he has promised, will not return unto him void. It will accomplish the purpose that he has sent it to, and he's promised that he will build his church, and that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And all of the schemes and plans of evil men, and all of the fury of the evil one himself, none of that can stop the onward march of the cause of Christ in this world. His cause, his work, will and it must prevail. And it will prevail here in Northern Ireland, just as it will prevail in Uganda. So we go forward with that great promise that the Lord is with us. And I wonder tonight, as you listen, can you say that the Lord is with you in the life that you live, in the course that your journey here on earth takes from day to day and from week to week? Can you say that I have the presence of the Lord with me? I am at peace with him. My sins have been forgiven. I have eternal life. Are you saved tonight? If you're not saved, if you've never repented of sin and never trusted in Christ and surrendered your life to him, then you don't have the presence of the Lord with you. You're on your own. And you'll live that way. And you'll die that way. And you'll go out into hell that way. And yet, tonight we have thought about the glory of the gospel message, that whosoever will may come, that there's pardon promised, forgiveness, peace, joy, hope, everlasting life to those who will repent and believe. And all he requires of you tonight is to give up your sin and surrender control and give your life to him. And then you will have his presence with you all your days. You'll be able to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. We trust it will be so for the Saviour's sake. We're going to conclude by singing the hymn number 480. It brings us again to the cross. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and poor contempt on all my pride. We'll stand and we'll sing together, and let's think about these words. That final verse says, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. If you're saved today, that's what his love demands and deserves of us every day. And if you're not saved, it's the same. His love requires your complete surrender to him. We'll stand together and sing hymn number 480. Heavenly Father, we thank thee once again for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for his sacrifice for us, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Saviour. We thank thee for him tonight. We thank thee for the message of salvation through his name. And we pray that those of us who know thee and love thee would live to serve thee and spread his glorious name from shore to shore. We think of those that may not be saved. We ask that thy word would penetrate their heart. By the Holy Spirit, they would be brought to repentance and faith. Part us with thy blessing upon us and take us to our homes in safety. And we pray that thy hand of favour would rest upon us throughout all of this week. For we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen.